dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 439. On Thanksgiving Eve, a dreary, rainy, cold Thanksgiving Eve.
Well, it's Pittsburgh.
And we all got wonderful alerts on our phones telling us to hunker down and
don't go outside.
Don't go out, and hospitals are maximized, and Merry Christmas! No,
which is funny because just yesterday, all the Pittsburgh news stations were reporting, no, the hospitals are not at capacity right now.
Right.
So
maybe things change today, or it's just a warning for trying to keep people from getting together.
Yeah.
Which I understand.
I do too.
So, I'm Comic Man, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Spencer,
the Brave and the COVID crew. That's
what the Brave and the COVID crew.
Well, that's why Mike didn't want to come. He's like, too many COVID warnings. So, I was going to cough on him, but whatever.
See, that would have been kind
of. If you get his advanced age, he has to take all precautions.
True, true, true. I hadn't thought about that. Thank you, Spencer. Okay, so we do have some questions.
Just in case if he listens when he's not on.
Right, oh, I'm sure he is. Okay, James asks, let's go with the obvious one. What about comics are you most thankful for this year?
Time killing.
AWA. They have put out some really good stories, and it wasn't something I expected. Although I would say it was a little odd having two books that pretty much revolve around pandemics, right as a pandemic.
Well, they're future people.
Yeah, that's absolutely great marketing on their part. I don't know how they figured that out, but good on them.
I'll be more general, just like something new to read, something new to take in during this year when there's like been nothing new at all.
Yeah.
As far as, I haven't seen a movie this year.
I think the last time I went to the movies was Last Jedi. The Last Jedi, the Rise of Skywalker.
I know, probably me too.
So this has definitely been
It's something to look forward to every weekend.
This has definitely been the year of getting caught up on that thing that you always wanted to read, like now's the time to do that.
Yep. Actually, yeah, I read a bunch of Brubaker's run on Captain America never read before. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Dude, I'm almost done with the Invincible run.
Yeah.
And I started that this year.
I read The Boys.
I'm working on The Boys too. I'm halfway through almost halfway through the fifth volume of the omnibuses of those.
Yeah, it's been some good stuff.
Yes.
It's not all bad.
Nope, I'm just thankful people came back after, because it was one of those, are they going to come back? Have they just moved on? So, okay. Brandon asks, Thanksgiving question, white or dark?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Favorite side dish and dessert?
Stuffing.
I'm going mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I'm stuffing too.
Not a big side guy, but probably the dessert, just the...
You're a hoagie guy.
Yeah. Cookies or whatever, whatever, side thing happens to be out there on the table to nibble on.
Yeah, chocolate chip cookies for me.
There you go. Apple pie for me.
Apple pie?
Apple pie. I'm not a pumpkin pie guy. Okay, Brandon also asks, DC has the Suicide Squad, but they don't really have a heist team, a la Ocean's 11. Who would make up this team? You need to fill out all the traditional team member troops.
Tropes?
Tropes.
Wouldn't it just be the Rogues?
He spelled it troops.
From Flash?
So he's like, you need a mastermind, you need a confidence man, you need a wheel man, you need a cat burglar, you need a hacker, and you need muscle.
Well, I think some of them are obvious. You got Lex Luthor is the brains of the operation. Catwoman, obviously, is the cat burglar. Probably good. Deathstroke is the muscle.
Ooh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Good, good. Well, are there any big drivers? I can't really
think of any drivers.
Of a car guy in
DC. Mean, there was in Batman Returns when the Penguin steals the Batmobile. That's pretty impressive. Now, if you want to go with anti-hero, I'd go Jason Todd.
That would work.
Yeah.
That works. So what do we got left? Hacker and Con Man.
Well, Oracle's the obvious.
Okay. Right, but she's a good person. No, she'd be doing a caper?
Well, what if it was a caper for something good, yeah. Okay. It'd be like an anti-crisis thing.
He's a computer guy from Identity Crisis.
That was a long time ago, Dave.
Yeah. I can't remember.
What was the other one?
This Con Man, Hacker and Confidence Man.
Confidence Man.
Confidence Man.
Max Lord.
I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's it. That's all the questions we got.
I think it's probably digital paint.
So, yeah, I can't really think of any news. Nothing off the top of my head. New previews came out. I'm sure they...
Right.
There's tons of new stuff there, but...
There is, but... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's... I can't honestly can't think of any news that happened. DC hasn't dropped any...
There's a lot of stuff in there, though, that I expected. See, either I got series that got canceled, or they were limited runs. Like, I read Dead Day. I didn't realize that was a 5-issue mini.
Aftershock, I think the only one that was more ongoing was Dark Ark. And,
what's the one with the animals?
Yeah.
Animosity.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
There you go.
Makes sense.
Animal Kingdom? No.
Zootopia?
Yeah. So, but I think most of theirs are just minis. So, Dave! You read anything good?
Put you on a spot.
Yeah, I read a lot good, actually.
So did I.
Start with Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I read that.
Didn't read
that. Okay, great.
Move on next. Oh, sorry.
Wow, he's just getting up and leaving.
Okay, that's good you read that one.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Fantastic Four 26. There's a lot going on in this one.
Yeah.
It's the Forever Gate story that can take you to any place in space or time. So it starts with Johnny and Sky in the Florida Everglades.
Which I didn't know there was a gateway down there, I didn't know that Man-Thing guarded it.
Man-Thing guards the nexus of all realities.
Yeah, which I mean, whatever.
Which is random. It could take you any place. It's random. They're trying to see if there's any connection between the two, and then.
So they did a cool bit where, like, the Swamp Thing, because you just see, like, people at the gate, you don't see who it is, and Man-Thing sneaks up on him and, like, grabs him by the head because, you know, anybody he touches that feels fear, you know, catches on fire, and then, you know, it ends up being Johnny, so it doesn't, you know, really do anything, and freaks him out, and he goes and runs away.
Right, that was good. And then there's a lot of, like, references to Secret Wars in here. Valeria goes through the Forever Gate to this planet Arboro.
She's already figured out a way to travel through it.
She like flirted with some prince during Secret Wars or something, and she wanted to go see him. And then Professor X tells Franklin that he can no longer come to Krakoa because he's not a mutant. He lost his powers, so he's not a mutant. But he said he was.
He wasn't even a mutant to begin with. They thought he was a mutant
He was fooling with his genetics, so it looks like he had the X gene or something. But he didn't. And then, I guess one of the big things, the return of the Future Foundation from space.
Along with a whole bunch of other people.
With the Powers kids and Dragon Man.
And the Wizards kid. Isn't that his name?
Bentley, you're talking about? Yeah, and Elijah. the Skrull.
Yeah.
Who Johnny was married to when she was in the form of Alicia.
Yeah, that was funny, them trying to explain all that to Skye. And she's like, wait, what? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Because, like, you know, she's like, oh, you married her? Like, yeah, but in my defense, you know, she looked like her. And it's like, that doesn't make it better.
Yeah. And so then at the end we get... Do they come through the Forever Gate?
Yeah, because like the beacon's still going on after the Future Foundation shows up, because then also a whole bunch of other ships and creatures start coming through too before that.
But she was in an early issue of this run, and she wants to destroy the Fantastic Four and destroy every universe, galaxy that Franklin has created.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good.
Yeah. The art's great.
Yeah, RB Silva is a new artist, is doing a great job on that. Next I read Barbalian, Red Planet, number one. This is a Black Hammer book. Let's see, it starts in the present time, I think. Barbalian, he's back on Mars, and he's before the Martian Tribunal, and they sense him to death because he didn't fulfill his mission of taking over Earth. Plus, he's gay, and they don't like that.
Even on Mars.
So then we get some backstory on Barbalian, whose Earth alias is Mark Marks. And they go to 1986, and he's a police officer in Spiral City, and he's closeted, and they go to City Hall. There's a rally for AIDS awareness, and he has to get the leader, climbs up the flagpole, and Mark is climbing up after him, and then the guy falls. And he immediately Mark changes into Barbalian to save him from falling, and goes up on the roof to talk to him. And the guy's all mad at him, and he says, "You heroes are fighting monsters all day, but we're dealing with we're fighting real stuff every day." So it was really good. Jeff Lemire is a co-writer on this, and you know Barbalian, he's a fish out of water as far as being an alien and as far as his sexuality too. So it makes an interesting story. Edgar Allan Poe. Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Blood. Number two, this had the Mark Russell story.
Okay.
Another one of the monster serials story, which was fantastic. It takes place in Chocolavania with the Marquis de Coco, is what they call Count Chocula. And he has a wife, and they're biting people at night and hiding out in their castle during the day. But he's still having these breakfast parties every morning. And some of the characters there are Duke Antonio, who's Tony the Tiger, and Sir Beeman, who's the Honey Nut Cheerios bee, and the Leprechaun King, Lucky the Leprechaun. And Leprechaun King tells them that General Post has destroyed his homeland, so the Marquis de Coco and his wife to help them, because he found out they were vampires. His buddy, Bo Berry is a ghost, and he found out they were vampires. And he wants them to come to his homeland to help them. So it's a story about these people are hiding out and not doing the right thing instead of not helping the Leprechaun King. Leave it to Mark Russell to make a story like that using these characters, power and redemption and everything was great. And Ice Cream Man, number 21. This was interesting. This is a detective story, but it's also an homage to Watchmen.
Okay, the cover, yeah.
Because it's done in a nine-panel format.
Okay.
There's similar scenes, similar panels, such as the one when Rorschach's climbing through the window.
Okay.
And there's also a motif of an unhappy face throughout the issue. But it's about ice cream men who are disappearing in town. And this lady goes to this Detective Kowalski, who's kind of in the Rorschach role.
Okay.
In this, because he has the trench coat. And he doesn't think life means anything. Nothing means anything anymore. And he tells him, she tells him his husband disappeared, who's an ice cream man. So he starts to figure this out and how it's connected to a cult and also a dairy manufacturer who seems to be trying to eliminate the competition. So.
It was mailman. milkman.
Yeah. So, just a really cool issue. And that's all I got.
Patrick.
Well, I guess following up on that, we'll start with Rorschach.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Better.
Still don't understand how this is a Rorschach story, but okay. It pretty much revolves around the Columbo guy, who is interviewing a woman who at one point dated the creator, and literally for one date, dated the creator of the pirate comic. It was a Pontius Pirate. And then her husband had just died. And
not at the time of the date, but at the present.
Yeah, in the present. And then, but apparently throughout the years, he had basically been...
Right, she told him that she had gone on a date and it hadn't gone well, so the husband mocked him his entire life.
Yeah, for 50 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to think of the book. It's not bad, and I trust Tom King, but I don't get it yet. It definitely felt more like it was a sequel to the original Watchmen.
Than the TV show.
Yeah, than the TV show in this issue. Whereas the other issue, it felt the other way around. But I think the TV show is supposed to be a sequel to the original book.
Right.
And that's why. I don't know. It's...
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's a big story, and we need to take it bit by bit. But
yeah, but like you know, he told a big story when he did Mr. Miracle,
mm-hmm.
and there were definitely twists and turns where I'm like, okay, well, I'll just enjoy the ride because there was good stuff in there, like the vegetable platter thing with Darkseid when they were him and the other guy were pissing off a legend to Apocalypse. Like, that stuff was there to kind of, like, hold your attention. This hasn't had that yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because of the team that did Mr. Miracle, because this isn't...
Mitch Jarrett, right. Yeah, Mitch Jarrett. Jorge Fornes.
And maybe it's, you know, just the working relationship's different,
mm-hmm.
or what. I don't know.
Is that guy supposed to be Steve Ditko?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got that.
Mm. Yeah, basically on an interview, he said basically Steve Ditko went hard right, and this is he wanted to write this. What happens if Steve Ditko went hard left?
Okay.
So.
Well, and then there was they had showed an unpublished comic.
Right, which was basically Mr. A. Yeah, well, it's Mr. A, which was his character that he created after he left Marvel and everything. But yeah.
So we'll go with...
Yeah, incomplete.
Yeah, yeah, we'll give it an I for right now. Dark Knight's Death Metal number 5.
Mm-hmm. So I had read Justice League 56 and 57 to get caught up.
Okay.
Before reading this. Yeah. Yeah.
The book has problems.
Yeah.
It falls into the trap that I think a lot of Marvel epic stories do, where you have to read every
mm-hmm.
one shot, every, you know, side thing, or else you're going to miss a critical component, and that's what this did. And I don't have a problem with them trying to sell books. But, like, if you look at what Valiant has historically done, the series is a series. That's all you have to read. And then the tie-ins are just kind of side stories. They're not necessarily critical. On this, it really isn't that way. And then even some of the stuff that just goes on just doesn't make sense. There was a scene in particular where Lex Luthor brings up the fact that Lobo can regenerate. So Diana has him cut himself a bunch of times, and she now has an army of Lobo.
I don't know that it works that way.
And no, probably, but that's what I was saying. That's what I would expect in a Deadpool comic.
Yeah, it feels very fan fictiony. What if we do this? Like, there was one part where he got the Legion of Doom, and they take that, and they come back to Earth and doing, like, from Apocalypse, and they're doing, like, a scorched Earth. Well, if we destroy Earth, he won't be able to use it or something. And it has them on Earth doing scorched, and then there's Penguin going, I have a pointed rock, because what's he going to do?
Yeah.
And it was just...
But even that makes no sense, because they say he feeds off the fear of others.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're destroying the planet, I'm pretty sure you're going to create fear.
Yeah, I don't...
The logic just seemed backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Although the one thing I think it has going for it is I'm definitely getting a vibe that DC is going to reboot everything in March, and it's going to be because of this. This is going to cause the DC universe to... go away and then be rebuilt, and then they're going to use that as the impetus for all new storylines and stuff.
Well, and one thing that, you know, they said that they're undoing everything that had been done in the past. So if you like the original version of the JSA, that's back in canon. If you like the new 52 stuff, that's in canon. If you like...
Well, the problem is everything I'm reading is what they want is no canon. They want an omniverse and just tell whatever, and nothing really needs to tie together.
Yeah, well, but and that's I get what they that
to
Rebirth,
a point,
too.
Right? I was listening to the Word Balloon with James Tynion, and the reason he's creating all these new characters and stripped Batman of all his trappings is to make it new reader friendly. And I'm like, I don't know if you're accomplishing that, but. That's
we'll
the reason for all the new characters. Yeah.
We'll get to
but
that.
So I wonder if that's something where they're trying to make everybody not so tied to continuity and tied to what happened before. But they did that with New 52, and it wasn't met with love. And then Rebirth kind of brought it all back. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, new regime doing what they want.
And that's. Look, that's fine. I get it. They own the characters. They can do what they want. Just have to understand if you make it something I don't want anymore. That's going to impact your sales.
Yeah.
You know, and I representing the readers, not, you know, my $3 they probably don't give a damn about.
Four. Yeah. Sorry, but I also think that's a problem.
Way to kick a guy when he's down.
Well, I'm not, but like you had asked if, you know, normally on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I get a lot of returning customers, especially like the kids that went away to college. And I'm like, not so much anymore because I really don't have that many high school kids.
Yeah.
Like I used to. I used to have a lot more. And I think the price is the thing. When it was $3, you know, you can come in with, you know, get three comics for $10 and move along. But now it's not.
Yeah,
you
know.
Too. So, and, you know, now three books isn't going to tell you a whole lot because every story is, you know, 22 parts. And
yeah. Now you get two and enough to ride the trolley home.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I read it and got to the end and went, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's just you're just writing a fun story, cool. But if you're trying to write it in the constraints of the DC universe, because the Justice League run led into this and all this stuff, so it's like, it's not standalone. If you want it standalone, cool.
Yeah.
That's fine, but this is, you know, very much not standalone. So.
But the other thing is, like, this really plays into 3 years, essentially, of storytelling.
Yeah.
So, and you know, maybe this has been an afterthought, but if you plan for 3 years to kill the universe, to start all over again, what the hell? Like, that makes absolutely no sense. But, like I said, not my characters. They can do what they want. Yep. And if I don't like it, I'll stop reading.
Well, that's the weird thing when you think about DC. They went so long without doing any, like, really, like, big reboots. They, like, after, like, you know,
like,
you know,
Crisis, yeah.
Yeah, and then just, like, within these past, like, couple years, they just, like, just been doing
it again.
Do it again.
Well, yeah, I mean, just since 2011, we had New 52, we had Rebirth. They had DCU, which was, like, a soft kind of reboot. Now you got the, you know, whatever's going on here. It's a lot. So let's talk about Batman.
Sure.
And Ghost Hunter.
Killer.
Maker.
Ghost Maker.
Who everybody agrees is a dumb name.
Yes.
Batman and Harley thought it was a dumb name.
Yeah. Who, and like, his older costume reminds me of Iron Fist, but with a cape.
Yeah.
And his modern costume looks like Moon Knight, which...
But almost like with a little bit of Daredevil mixed in, because he's always has his eyes covered.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that when I saw, I think it was his older costume when he was younger.
Yeah, well, that's I saw Iron Fist in that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, he said he's a costume vigilante just like Batman. He just, you know, he's going the full measure, and Batman kind of points out the flaws in his logic, like, yeah.
It was, where it was interesting when he approaches Batman, and he's telling him how, you know, even before he got off his plane, he took care of this, 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 and this, that Batman couldn't, and he's the hero Gotham needs, and then later Batman explains, well, yes, but you ruined an you
right,
jumped the gun, and didn't, Yes, you broke up that gun shipment, but I had replaced the ammunition, and we were going to try to track, you know, the guns. And
but
so
I love
that
the
was
best part of that. One of the crates was full of chickens and recipes. Like, that's kind of messed up. That's not a Batman thing to do, but I love that he did it.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna play a joke on these guys. I don't hate the character. I don't hate what they're doing. And I like the idea that he can't just fall back on his tech. But what I'd almost like to see at this point, go like to a more detective story. Just kind of bare bones, you know, detective work. Rather than a face from his past, or, you know, a non-face from his past that's challenging him. Because the other question is, why does this guy give a damn about Gotham? Because it's not about Gotham, it's about one-upping Bruce. Which, like, okay, you know, I've read this story before. You know, it's almost like he's the new version of Azrael. So, I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting. Let's see what they do here. What else? Nightwing. Nightwing 76. So, I thought this was interesting.
Yeah.
And it was really a left turn. Because when it goes back to when right before Dick got shot and the conversation that he's having with Batman and Commissioner Gordon up on the roof, and then it flashes forward to present day where KG Beast has B, and, you know, he's going to kill her first. Dick gets him talking, gets him distracted, and is able to defeat him. But then, you know, as he's basically making sure, you know, B's okay and he's walking her home, she's like, you know, okay, so this is you and, you know, we'll work together. He's like, yeah, I don't have feelings for you anymore. That really seemed out of left field.
He does. It's just he's doing the Batman thing of lying to her, saying that he doesn't, so that to try to keep her out of harm's way. Other than,
but that's the left field thing, because just in the last issue, you know, he was having flashbacks, or you know, he was hearing Alfred tell him it's okay, and he made his peace with it, and now it's okay. Well, KGB attacked. Which he had to know was coming anyway.
Meh.
So, I don't know. It just didn't make a lot of sense.
I just think it's just to set up more drama to move forward, you know, because I'm sure this isn't going to be the last we see of her. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, no. I'm
so, I'm sure this is just, you know, we're breaking them up so we can get them back together. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A couple of storylines from now, you know, it's probably what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because if they got together now, where's the story?
Well, but then,
you'd have to put her in a fridge. You know, that's the only story you got left.
Well, yeah, if you want to focus on her, but you know, his whole point is he can have just a normal life, and I think even Batman talks about, you know, we can't have the little house with the white picket fence, but you can.
Yeah.
You know, he can have. And that would be a different type of Nightwing story where you have, you know, Dick going off into Bloodhaven and doing his thing, but then coming home at night to be and, you know, whatever that becomes. Like, you could do that, and that'd be an interesting...
Oh, yeah.
And not only would it be an interesting set of stories, it would be something completely different from what we've seen before and something completely different from Batman.
Yeah.
Which really is the point of Nightwing anyway. I don't know. Let's see. I guess the last one I'll talk about is Grendel, Kentucky.
Did that.
So, I liked it, but I felt like this was a placeholder issue.
Well, it explained the backstory of what has been really going on.
It did, but that was like the first four pages of it, and then after that, it kind of, like, I would have preferred they expanded that piece, because that was really interesting.
Right, right. But it explained why that the dad was down in the mine with his brothers, and...
That was their grandfather.
Okay, but, that's right, because the dad is the one who put an end to it.
Yeah.
But after they got, he heard them being eaten, and after that, all of a sudden, Mama's garden grew, and all of a sudden everything grew, and then all of a sudden it stopped, and then he had to feed the monster a hobo, and they've been doing that for years, and finally Dad said, enough's enough.
Yeah.
And that's what led to all of this.
Yeah. And, you know, now Grendel's out hunting.
Hunting, yes. But they got him pretty good. But not
got his
enough.
Arm and everything.
Got his arm, but apparently that was not enough.
No, that's not enough.
Yeah, so.
Then I'm thinking that's its mother or something like that.
Well, no, you kill Grendel and then his mother comes. Didn't you read Once in the Future?
Yeah. Yeah, well, but they killed Grendel. Yeah, they
Beowulf?
Killed Grendel.
Yeah.
They killed him in this issue. Because, you know, well, imagine cutting its arm off probably killed it.
Saturday I had Brooklyn Nine-Nine playing. Uh-huh. And at the one house party, the captain's husband mentions Beowulf, and then later on, the one character goes, "Yeah, that wolf book you were talking about." So,
okay,
that just went where my brain went.
It's odd because Once in Future just finished a Beowulf arc.
Yeah,
so it's like that's kind of weird. We got two Beowulf books like back to back.
We're going classics, baby.
Yeah. Hey. So we got one issue left of this, but I can see how this is going to wrap up.
Yeah.
This one's not, And it's not something I expect them to do a second series of or have this roll into their shared universe.
Also, the one weird thing, this didn't address her going into the mine as a kid and seeing the monster. Wasn't that like the end of issue 2? Revealed that the girl went to follow dad into the mine once and saw something that she shouldn't have.
Yeah, and then they played it off like, because that's what, you know, the grandfather was like, oh no, that didn't happen. You're just seeing things, whatever. Right. And then he finally said, yeah, there's monsters here. And then that was when he explained.
Right. Yeah, I just thought they'd, you know, because now she's just kind of, okay, well, we'll fight it.
Yeah. But I guess, like, her brother got killed.
Was he one of the ones that died in the bar or whatever?
He fell asleep in the chair. Well, it looked like he was about to get killed.
I thought he got killed because it was off panel because you heard him scream. But that's I thought he got killed.
I thought so too.
And I think that's all the more reason why she won't ever come back to Kentucky, and therefore the series just ends. You know, no reason for her to be back. I like all these AWA books.
Yeah, no, this is the only one I've read, and liked. I've liked it very much.
Okay. So you haven't read Bad Mother?
I did not, no.
Okay. Well, that's another...
Not intentionally.
No. Bad Mother, some of this issue, April, who is the bad mother...
Shut your mouth.
The gang or the cartel that had kidnapped her daughter decided they put a hit out on her, but that didn't quite go as well as they had hoped. So she not only killed the hitman, but then also got the cartel leader's son, and it looks like, you know, they're gonna have to make a trade. But in it, like, she tells a story of how her daughter had been harassed by a kid whose father was like a, not a congressman, but like a state assemblyman or a city councilman, something like that. So the school wouldn't do anything about it, and how she just like kept the pressure on for months and months and months. So finally they just had to do something for her to go away. And that was kind of her point is, you know, she's not going anywhere. Yeah. I got nothing better to do but to make you miserable. So, but another really good book. So, not everything was bad. Just unfortunately, some books I would have preferred to be good were not. Spencer?
Amazing Spider-Man 53.
They had a really cool Miles Morales variant cover.
Yeah, there's a cool cover on this week's Last Rites issue 2 of Miles. But so in this issue, because the last one ended with Kindred snapping Peter's neck, it shows like him laying there on like this cement block, like in this mausoleum kind of thing, and then it kind of goes into like his thoughts, because he turns out not to actually be dead, but like he wakes up in like a weird kind of where like Ben's still alive. And he ends up and he ends up going to a party, and like all of his Flash is still alive, and he's there talking to, you know, everybody else and stuff like that, and MJ's in the crowd, and he tries to go to her, but she's always like out of arm's reach, and he can't ever get to her, and stuff like that, and the party ends up being a surprise for Harry, who's coming back from something. I'm not sure what. But like, or maybe it was like a birthday party or something like that. But then Kindred like either brings him back, Peter, back to life, or wakes him up, and
That's whenever we get to the point of where he slowly reveres to himself, to Peter and who he is, of being Harry Osborn. So that's kind of like where the issue ended, was like a big splash page of, you know, of Harry's face. So like I said, I'm kind of interested to see like where this part goes. I'm want to see like how he became Kindred and like how they explain that. I think that's gonna play a big role on like if this was a good story or not. But then Justice League 57. This pretty much just finishes the last of the tie-in to the death metal stuff. Yeah. They're able to get the Legion of Doom out of the chair, and they eventually team up after fighting to take out the Omega Knight that's there, and, you know...
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened, yeah. But it's like, okay... And it, what was even weirder was there was a flashback scene where the heroes were talking about going to do that, and there's Dick in his regular costume, yet for some reason out here he's got like a wool or a...
Yeah, they never...
A fur... it was just... Yeah, it was really weird.
How people got their different, like, metal looks.
Yeah. And at the end of this, like, they get everybody freed, and then Lex Luthor boom tubes the League of
Doom
away, and then, you know, to be continued in Death Metal 5, and in that one they're like, hey, we're here to help. It's like, okay. Just, yeah. I want it over.
Yeah. Something is killing the children 12. So things are really starting to get out of hand. One of the monster that was originally, you know, kidnapping these kids and eating them and stuff, they killed it, but it had babies. So now the babies are like going around and trying to kidnap and kill people, and you know, only the kids can see the creature. So the adults, like there was an issue or so ago, that they're out in the parking lot of the school, and they just see like one of the gore, like a kid literally just get like picked up in the air and just get like ripped in half. So they're like, most of the town's like hiding out in the school. The organization that the girl with the big eyes and the mask, they're coming to town, and they're not trying to like save everybody. They're just gonna basically just take out the whole town to take out the creatures and stuff like that. Because they can't let the secret go out of, you know, that people will know what's going on and stuff like that. So it's a lot of just kind of like a race behind against the clock kind of scenario kind of thing, but. Still been a pretty good series. Everything else was just the X books, and I'll let Colin.
Oh, I have to try to explain all that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get there.
Try to help Colin.
Okay. Good. There were a couple books from Scout that I wanted to give a shot, only because I only ordered a couple and didn't have enough. I knew they would go quick. So, what? And it was there. I was intrigued by them. Because of the solicits and just looking at that. But the first one was Frank at Home on the Farm, which, you know, by the title, not super exciting. But it was basically pitched as Twin Peaks meets, oh darn it, X-Files. And basically Frank comes home from World War I, and he's happy to get home. He's missing part of his ear, and he just wants to get home and see his family. They live in a farm in the outskirts of this town. And he gets home, and nobody's there. His family's gone. No indication. But, like, some stuff was warm, and so it's like they were just recently gone. The weird part of this is he goes kind of into town to see if anybody knows anything, and like nobody knows him. And he's like, yeah, we live in the I'm from the farm on the edge of town. It's like, but you never went into town? You know, it was really weird, and you kind of get the impression that he's kind of losing his mind. So it was interesting. It was different. I didn't quite know what to expect, but I guess X-Files and Twin Peaks, it makes sense that way. So I'm going to definitely try number two and see where that's going. Children of the Grave. Now, I read this one because it's written by Ben, who is one of the employees at Acme. I have more coming because I didn't realize that. I guess when I ordered it, I knew about it, but for some reason didn't order up as much as I should. But luckily I was able to get more coming. But it's like there's this small town, and like the religion runs the whole town. The pastor runs everything, and finally this kid wants to get away. He's had enough of everything, and he leaves, and just lots of weird stuff going on with it. So I realize I'm not explaining well, but sadly I also read it 8 days ago, so memory is not good. But it was good, and I do have more coming in. Good creepy horror. Hellblazer 11. I don't remember if we talked about this one. Outstanding. I'm so disappointed that the last issue of this series came out today. Really looking forward to reading it. This has been just probably the best Hellblazer since I started reading Hellblazer from the old, you know, Jamie Delano and the Garth Ennis and Warren Ellis stuff. Just outstanding grasp of the character. Basically, he's left a voicemail by this guy who is a politician, and it turns out he's not. He's an ancient demon, where he was like a Viking that came down, and he was like the boogeyman, and people warned children that he feed on your fear, and he's like, and so I did, and he lived hundreds of years feeding on people's fears, being the boogeyman, being the thing at the window. And then he got lazy and just started feeding on one person's fear. And eventually it was this politician, and he took over for him, took over his body, wearing his skin. And he was this guy. And it was like just perfect for today, saying all, fearing immigrants, just raising everybody's fear. And he's feeding off that by controlling this guy.
That would explain a lot
this year. Yeah. So, I mean, it did. It was perfect. This is all through a voicemail he left Constantine, and Constantine's listening to it, which is fun because in the book he's trapped a demon in his phone, and so he's like, no, just play the message, and it's very, that aspect of the whole thing has been funny, but it's very John, very Constantine. But then this guy's been murdered, and somebody found out about him and came and got him, and now John basically has to figure out who is powerful enough to take this guy down, and which is going to lead to the last. Luckily, it's a $6 book. It was a big, thick one, so I'm going to really enjoy it. Okay. You know, it's a big meal at the end, which is nice. But just outstanding. I highly recommend, if you have any interest in the character and don't want to go back to the old stuff, just pick up these two trades. Really, really good. Really good run. I'm really sad it's going away. Suicide Squad 10, did we talk about this? Because I know this is a little bit old. The last issue came out today, and that's why I wanted to read this one.
I thought that was the last issue.
No, 11 came out today, okay. Which is the last one. This was the one before it that came out a little bit ago. But at the end of 9, Deadshot takes a headshot out and goes out a window, and so does Max Lord, and everybody thought it was Max Lord, but it wasn't. It was Black Mask. Who then escapes, and they go to try to take him over. And apparently Black Mask's, I don't know the character that much. I thought he was just like a gang guy. But apparently the mask gives him the ability to be the chameleon. And he can look like anybody.
I did not know that.
I did not know that either. But then, so they get onto the plane, and one character who, like the one character can fly and gets into the plane, or teleport and gets into the plane, but then like somebody else is flying who's tied up, but it's not really. And then they have this big fight, and they go to find this other character who is kind of unstable, and who one of them met in prison, and she's going to blow up, and it's going to blow up this whole island and stuff, and they have to stop her. And then Zebra Man, whose power is to make these, like, bubbles. Like, that's how it started, where the bad guy had Zebra Man keep him in this bubble so nobody could get him, like a force field. And as he's holding the blast in, he's kind of talking to one of the other people. He's like, well, I'm not, my power has nothing to do with zebras. I just think they're really cool. And I guess he paints himself to look like a zebra. He has stripes. So hopefully we'll get more of that in this last issue. But yeah, it's all about keeping this person from blowing. And of course, at the very end, everything blows. So, but it was good. It's been a really good series. And I'm not a Harley fan. I'm not her on the Suicide Squad fan, and that's why I haven't read most of it, because she's just too much. But she hasn't been too much on this. This one has been really good at introducing these new characters, and I guess they're now leading into a new type of team with these new characters they introduced. I'll come back to the X-Books. Sea of Sorrows was not the book I was expecting. I thought it was World War II. It actually takes place after World War I. And it's basically they're going to recover downed ships in the Atlantic,
okay,
where merchant ships that were downed by German boats. Now they're going to salvage, you know, the gold and stuff that's down there. Well, there's more than that down there. There's actually a very evil. There's a submarine down there. Because it's funny, it's the old school diving. So it's like the big diving suit. Deal. And they just let him down. And he's like, the guy's just walking along the bottom of the ocean.
Nice.
So just kind of funny. I enjoyed that. But there's mermaids down there that are not nice.
Mermaids are typically nice.
No, but one guy's like on this thing to be away from people because he did some awful things during the war that, you know, he had to. That was part of the war, but that's why he kind of likes being by himself. So, but it was a little, you know, you don't get a ton of character. You weren't sure who all the people were. Gotcha. But it was interesting. But yeah, for some reason I thought it was World War II. It's World War I. Symbiote Spider-Man King in Black is using this. The symbiote Spider-Man book has been set when Peter was still wearing the black costume before he realized it was Venom. And it's written by Peter David, so that does give it an air of credibility to it.
Okay.
They've been okay. I've read the two miniseries. They're okay.
So this one kicks off the King in Black, basically where the King in Black tried to approach Earth previously and was rebuffed by Peter. And it's funny because it kind of shows up with some minions, and I don't know if it's the actual Null, but shows up and it's like, hey buddy, and then Peter's fighting him. He's like, why are you fighting me? We're the same and all this. So it was interesting. They wanted to get Jonah, but Jonah said Ned Leeds and Peter instead to this place where this creature had taken over somebody else in like an insane asylum. But it was interesting. I not bad at all. Wasn't super excited about the King in Black story, but this wasn't a bad kickoff to it. Shadow Service. I'm loving this book. Are you getting that, Dave?
Yeah, I didn't read that one.
You didn't read it? Okay. What I love about this book is that every issue has this great cliffhanger ending. The first one, she's sucked into a water bottle, basically. It's not, but it's like that's what it was. At the end of the last issue, she lets a demon that was possessing a client that she was trying to rescue take her over. And now the demon is inside her. So just at the end of every issue is something really dramatic.
Okay.
She's working for this thing called MI666, which is basically a British, intelligence thing with magic and demons and things like that. And just really fun. She just has an innate knowledge of the stuff. Just these words pop into her head that she says, and it accomplishes what she needs, like sends people flying. Okay. In the very first issue, it nails a guy's foot to the floor so he couldn't run away, but just by saying a word. So that continues, and the one guy's just fascinated. It's like, just because she didn't have to learn the magical arts, she just is. And it's like, you know, she is such a rare creature.
Okay.
It's also the origin of the black guy who eats. It explains how that happened and what happened to him and stuff. But really cool, neat little book. This is from Vault, and it's just, I haven't read this story. I don't know where it's going. I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
Then Scarenthood was a new one from IDW, which was a little too British. I guess it was written by a Brit, and it was just very, very British, and it was a little hard to follow. Yeah, not hard to follow, but...
Was it something that was published over there that...
No, I don't think so. I think it's new here. Okay. It's new here. But parents drop their kids off at daycare, and the one, this one boorish dad...
You're even speaking British.
What?
You're even speaking British. You're using words like boorish.
Boorish. There we go. Fair enough. But... So the
chap who's quite large.
Yes, exactly. Well, so he's telling the story, like they're in, they're not allowed into the audit or the like the, where the stage is because something weird happened there, and he's like, yeah, that was my brother. He went under the stage and never came back, and it's weird because I swear you'd sit there and the statues would move, and it's like, oh, you're just a crazy kid. Something's happened with the mom of this kid who for the other another dad. Who works from home and is always running late to pick her up and things. And it's just, I want to see mom. And they haven't explained where mom is or what's going on, mom, other than she isn't there. But so then the parents decide to investigate, and the guy who's with the missing mom is like, oh, you know, I'll go under the stage if it'll shut you up. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, I hate you, and storms off. And then one of the moms is like, okay, tough guy. You go under and look, you know, go in, touch the back wall, and come out. Well, he goes in. They notice when they're looking in, one of the statues is missing. The Virgin Mary statue isn't where it should be. So he goes and he crawls underneath, and he finds it in, like, all these vines and stuff under there. And he reaches for it and somehow snaps the head off of it. And then when he comes out, 10 hours has passed. And so he had missed, like, the kids were going to the zoo, so he wasn't there to pick her up. He goes to the one other mom. You know, he has all these messages. His phone had died while he was under there. So time passed, but it didn't seem like that much to him. So they come out, and he goes to pick her up at the one mom's who left him. And she's all mad at him. You know, how dare you do all this? Why are you playing this trick on me? And all this stuff. And then he shows the Virgin Mary head. It was like it was under there. And so it was interesting. And not quite what I was expecting. The way the pitch was... was basically you drop your kid off at daycare, then spend the day fighting demons, and then make sure you get there to pick them up and, you know, for snack and stuff. Not quite that, or it might get there where they're now demon fighters, but right now they're not. But not bad, not bad. And it was really, I don't know if it was extra long. It just, it was a long read. Not in a bad way, just in a, or, you know, you read a lot of books and it's like over and like, wait, nothing happened. But that wasn't one of those. Okay. So, now, X of Swords.
You mean Nine of Swords?
Nine of Swords, yes.
That'd be IX of Swords.
Well, the best was, they just announced a new thing. So, following Dawn of X, now it's Reign of X. So, I replied to Jermaine. So, is that Reign of Ten? Because I've always been teasing him.
What's going to be next?
Saying that it's not X? Ten, that it's X of Swords. So, I got to tease him a little bit. But, so, this is, the last three came out today, but so these are the
penultimate
trio or whatever, so. I couldn't tell you what happened in each one. Oh, yeah, I can. Okay, X-Force was just a ton of fights.
Yeah.
And the X-Men people were getting their butts handed to them.
Yeah.
They could barely win anything. They were losing every battle.
Even lost the dance contest.
Yes. Dance contest, yes. But so they were losing just about everything. Hellions was the story. The Hellions, when they were trying to get back, they were going through like a side gate.
This one was really good.
It was, but it also made you realize, why would anybody in their right mind ever trust Mr. Sinister?
His name is Sinister.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. But so they come across this other guy. I don't, you know, names I don't know anymore. But he had his own little group of X-Men where he is very much a Sinister from this world, where he had modified their mutations to fit his needs. And so they fought their different people. Wild Child looks like she died, or he died. One of the other people.
It looks like most of them died.
Yeah, most of them died. The egg guy got blown away. The guy in the armor got done. So they get back. And at some point, Havoc had sacrificed an eye to get over a bridge.
I don't remember that either.
I don't think. I think it was an off-panel thing.
And then he lost a hand.
Two hands.
Did he lose both of them?
I think he lost both of them, yeah. So they finally make their way back, and then Sinister kills them all and tears his shirt and goes, oh, we've been attacked, and they killed all my people.
That was shocking. That was,
yeah. But the big thing for him is he got the DNA from this guy's, this other guy's thing, so he wants to play with that DNA.
They went over to get the swords, and they're like...
Right, he just went to get DNA.
They're fighting already, the swords aren't...
yeah, they were too late because they missed it. So yeah, that was interesting, but man... So yeah, the Hellions seem to be all dead. And then Cable led to where I think this is going, where he lost a battle. He had a sword fight, and he lost.
Yeah.
And then he's like...
The Cypher's wife.
Yes, only because he let up, and she didn't. But then he like mentally communicated with Jean and Scott, and then they got cut off Saturnine and said, stop that. And so now it looks like they're going to respond and come try to save everybody. But one interesting thing was that, I think it was in this one, it was definitely because it was Phil Noto art. Is it Gorgon? No.
Yeah.
Gorgon. Is that his name? Okay.
Yeah.
He basically, because he kills so many of the White Swords people, it evens up the score. So it's either they're just like down by one now instead, where they were down like 18-3, and you're just like, where is this going?
What issue did Thor or Storm kill Death in that one?
I think that was in X-Force. That was all the fights.
That was a
yeah, where
cool
she
time.
Was drugged and or drunk from the stuff. Yeah, but that was good. So yeah, I'll probably read them tonight because I want to know how it ends. But I didn't want to read those last three issues and muddy up these.
I'm glad on the last page of that last issue they gave a list of all the fights.
Yes.
And who won and what they were and everything. Which
yeah.
I mean, this series has been okay, but it's not anywhere near what I thought.
No.
It was because like the whole Ten of X and the swords and stuff. Yeah. I thought it was really gonna be like there's gonna be 10 sword fights.
Right.
And like you know, whoever has the, you know what I mean. Not
that's
these
just crazy talk.
Not like, hey, let's have an arm wrestling contest. And
but like they
that's okay to me, keeping me off balance with.
But like they set everything up. And like, what about that one group of people from the Araco who were new because they had taken over that territory, but they don't talk to anybody and stuff? It's like he set up all this stuff, and then nothing's yet happened with all of that. Yeah. So we'll see. That's it for me. But I think that I've read a lot.
So I was about to say, well, what's coming out next week? But we don't know.
Yeah, we do. Because you moved it.
Well.
It was there, and you moved it. Well.
Pardon me.
Next week is a little light. I will tell you, it's light. DC has a solid week, but everybody else kind of took the week off. We have Atlantis Attacks Part 5, which is a tie-in to King and Black. Where none of the rest of the series had been a tie-in to King and Black. So, I don't know. We have Civil War Marvel Snapshots, which is dealing with, it looks like, Maria Hill. COVID Chronicles, which I believe is an AWA book. It's a $9.99 one. Daredevil 25, which is weird because we had Daredevil 24 this week.
Wow.
Can't plan these things.
Erratic, which is definitely an AWA book.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four Road Trip, which is a one-shot. Happy Hour 2, that's an Ahoy book. Mm-hmm. Hellboy and the BPRD, Her Fatal Hour. These have sold really well. People still really like Hellboy. Hellions number 7, which is, even though it's marked, X of Swords. It says XOS, it's not. Liars. So that's a X book next week, so we'll see more what the...
It's an X book?
What? Oh. What's going on with Sinister? King in Black begins next week. So we got King in Black number 1 next week. Knock 'em Dead, which is a new one from... I believe this is Steve Orlando from Aftershock is doing this one about a kick...
MMA fighter?
Not AMA fighter.
MMA fighter.
MMA fighter. Mm. Who at the... press conference gets
ask
out.
Ask me anything, fighter.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, that's what I'm like. It's not AMA, but I knew somebody would jump in. But basically, I think he gets outed at his press conference as gay, and that in his career goes sideways on him. Null Marvel Tales, which is kind of neat. Only it's one of those big $8 reprint books, but it's going to reprint important stuff for King in Black, which I think is a good idea.
Okay.
MODOK Head Games, because of the TV show, they decided to give him a miniseries.
Even though the TV show won't be coming out anytime soon.
Yeah, you can't play in these things. Overwatch has a comic, Tracer London Calling. That's a video game. Then a whole lot of Red Sonja and Sacred Six covers. We have The Union number one, which was originally supposed to be an Empire tie-in book and is now suddenly a King in Black tie-in book. Interchangeable, I guess. I guess they're just interchangeable.
They just changed a few words.
Yeah. We got Thor 10, which is continuing the Don Blake story. And then X-Factor number 5 is another XOS non...
Oh, so they're not even taking a break after the whole X-10 thing. They're
there's enough X-books that we can get a couple of weeks, so I don't mind that. And then, hang on. I'm getting a big reorder that I'm actually coming in. It's here, and I'm coming in tomorrow to check it in. I don't think there was anything new. No, not from UCS, but from Lunar. It's a good week of DC. Goodness. Thank goodness. We got Batman. We have Batman Catwoman number one. We have Deceased Dead Planet number 6. First issue of Endless Winter, the Justice League Endless Winter one-shot, or part one, I guess.
There's
a special. There we go. Yeah, it's... Starts and ends in Justice League 1 and 2, and then the middle goes through...
It's like Justice League Dark, and then...
Flash, and then there's a Teen Titans special, and a Superman special. Yeah, it's a really weird way to do a book. Strange Adventures is also next week, which is good. And then Tales from the Dark Multiverse, Wonder Woman, War of the Gods. So that's what's coming next week. Since I'm coming in tomorrow, I'll get this... up. So you, happy Thanksgiving if you're listening to this when I get it up. Normally I wouldn't have, but when I got all that shipment through three different shipments from three different distributors, and so much of it is reorder that I just want to get it on the shelf for Black Friday. Woo! And Small Business Saturday. So Thursday when you're listening to this, check the website and Facebook. I'll post what the sale is going to be. It's going to be shocking to many of you.
I think I can guess.
I think you can guess, too. So, let's see. I think that's about it. Happy Thanksgiving. As always, the website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. I think that's all we got. Spencer.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See ya.
Bye.